All right, welcome everybody to Lecture 6 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today's lecture is way, way, way before Columbus. So we are preparing to learn and to know American history. That is our first segment of the class. We do not want to dive into the ocean of facts of American history because it is very easy to drown there. So we want to enter into that water and we want to explore that and carefully get to know it. So we are kind of mapping out the terrain here and we are getting ready to understand the story and how it works and what the parts of it are. And so we have been looking at the world around us to get set to go into that story. We have been looking at the world as it is today because the whole reason for going into the past and learning about the past is because we want to understand the world that we live in. This world where we are right now in this moment and the knowledge that we have and the people that we are, that's where we start. There's no choice about that. We can't start some other place. We are where we are. Every time, there's a famous book that has that name. Wherever you go, there you are. There's no other place you could possibly be. And so this is where we start. And so when we start learning history, what we do is we start by looking at the world around us and learning about what we see, right? And last time we were looking at all the, we started out by asking various questions about the world that we live in, and we discovered something very interesting about it. If we look at all the labels in the things that are in our house, we find that we have olive oil from Tunisia or Italy, and we have coconut water from Thailand or Indonesia, and we have plates from Japan and cars from Germany and televisions from Japan and China. Patrick was noticing, right, when he was doing his study of the world around him, that on the back of a lot of things in our house, it says made in
China,
right? Which is very interesting, a fascinating fact. How come so many things that we have in our house, and I guarantee you in your house and in every house in America, were made in a country that's on the other side of the earth, right? So we've been talking about this strange fact of our world, that we are connected to everybody else all over the world. And we've been trying to describe that and make sure that we understand it well. What kinds of words would we use to describe the kind of world that we live in today with regard to how connected we are to everybody else? What are some of those key words that describe the world as we find it? Now, this could be the ultimate starting point here. Sigourney, go ahead, please.
Interconnected.
Okay, tell me about that, please, Sigourney. Interconnected. What is that? Right, I'm going to take you over. Wait, I'm going to take you over to the lower elementary webpage, and I'm going to indicate to you, because some of you may not have seen this yet, because we have, for today's class, I put the link right there because I wanted you to see it. We have class notes for week 1 and 2. And if we go into those class notes and you click on them and bring them up on your screen or read them, you're going to see that we are talking about the world that we live in, and I introduced the term interconnected. Can somebody read this point to me out of the class notes as a good way to remind us about this key theme that we are doing? Who could read that? Who would feel comfortable reading that for the entire class? Okay, I think Abby's going to volunteer for that. Thank you for the word, Sigourney. Now Abby's going to read this little passage for us.
We are so connected that we use the word interconnected to express it. To be connected means there is a link between people or things. Inter also means between. So the word interconnected means involving a high degree of betweenness, or being connected in multiple and complex ways.
Oh my gosh. All right. Excellent reading. Thank you, Abby. Right. So that's the idea of our world today. How did it become so? Now maybe, if you have a question or comment, you are absolutely welcome to bring it up. And I see, Dana, you are on a new type of device today, so I'm glad to see that. Now you'll have the ability to raise your hand, which you just successfully did. And Rolly, if you want to look for it as well, if you want to stop me at any point in a lecture, there is a button that says you can raise your hand, and that way you can get my attention as I'm speaking. Of course, use that judiciously. Perfect, Nemo. Okay, so that's the idea. All right, but what we're talking about is the world, how the world became the way that it is today, and the best word to explain that is interconnected, but also there's another word for it. And it has to do with the fact that we are interconnected with everybody in the world. So it's possible to be interconnected with your family, of course, right? It's possible because you are a relative of your mom and dad. You are interconnected because they buy food for you. You are interconnected because you live in the same house, in the same physical location. All right, Anthony, good luck. You got in here. All right, let me control the muting, please. Okay, and so we are connected to each other in many different ways. What is it? What's the word for we are connected to each other all around the world? What's that word? What's the word that describes this state of affairs, which is very new? It's very new, and I want to kind of make a joke about that. And Anna says international, not quite. International means between countries. So yes, we have international flights and international communication. That's true. But there's a word that describes a way of life that involves everybody in the world. What is that? What is that word? Gabriel.
Global.
Global, right. Global means pertaining to the whole world. And so when we talk about our lives today, we say that we have become global. Globalized. Let me chat that one for you guys, just because I can't remember how much time we've spent on that particular expression. So the word for the kind of life that we lead today is one that is globalized. In other words, it has been made global. That's what globalized means. It's been made global. By whom? That is the kind of question that we must ask. And you already know one of the answers because we focused on this character very much recently, and we're going to go back to this character. We're going to talk about his role in making our world a globalized world. We saw him making that momentous discovery. Who am I referring to in that painting and in our poem? Henry Wyatt.
This is Wyatt. Who you are referring to is Columbus.
Christopher Columbus and his discovery of 1492. Right. I would say that more than any single person in the history of the world, Christopher Columbus is responsible for globalization. I can explain why I would say that, but we'll have to wait a little bit for maybe understanding why that is. But that's why I've chosen Christopher Columbus's discovery of 1492 as one of the first dates that we're going to learn this year, one of the first events that we're going to learn this year about the world, as we dive into this ocean of facts and learn about American history. We're always going to want to refer back to that one, because that is why, in a strange sort of way, why we have things in our house that are called Made in China. Well, never mind that. I mean, it's true, but never mind that. That's why we are here at all, right? In America. How could there be people like us in America? There might be people running around in the forest, the natives that were here before, but there wouldn't be people like us, and there wouldn't be anybody speaking English, and there wouldn't be any country called the United States of America. So all of this is here. Why? Well, because America was discovered in 1492, and Europeans started to come over here, and some of you know about the pilgrims and the settlers, and we have this whole story called American history. Fantastic. So we know that the story and this globalized world that we live in very much leads back to that event, 1492. Today, though, what we're going to talk about is, well, what's 1492? What does that mean? This number, 1,492. What does that mean? That means 1,492 what? Jeremy?
Yes?
Years. 1,492 years since what? And, well, is there some, like, somehow that history begins back at zero, right? Because when you take away 1492 from 1492, you end at zero. Is that when the famous Big Bang happened, as everybody likes to talk about, right? There's that show, The Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang is where the universe started. Is that what happened? No. Back at zero? No. Something else. And in fact, strangely, all of these events from 1492 to the present, well, that's only very, very recent history. That's very, very recent. That's only 10% of history that we know of. So 500 years is 10%. Who's capable of doing that math? If 500 years of history is 10%, how much is the whole of recorded history? Well, that's pretty good mental math. If 500 years is 10% of the whole thing, how much is the whole thing? At least that we know about. Anthony's close, but you got your place values wrong there, Anthony. Nemo?
50.
No, careful now. So I'm not a good math teacher, so I'm not going to try to do this one. I just wanted to see if anybody could get it. And Dana did get it. Go ahead, Dana.
5,000.
So the history of the world that we know of is about 5,000 years long. That goes way, way back before Columbus. That's why I decided to call today's lecture way, 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 way back before Columbus. Because if we're going to understand American history, if we're going to make sense of it, one of the things that we need to know about it is that it's only the most recent 10% of all of history. It's actually a very short story compared to the whole thing. The whole thing is much, much longer. The whole of history is 5,000 years. Now, I want to show you that by going to a timeline on my screen and kind of getting you to start thinking about this. So here we go. What am I going to do with that? I'm going to have to move it kind of like... I got to move a couple things on my screen. All right, so here is our, you know, recorded history on the screen. Here we are over here. I like these things. You are here. Right? When you go to the mall and you're trying to find yourself on a map, you have to find the spot that says you are here. So as far as history is concerned, there we are right now. Right? We are here, and the year is 2014, and by the time we're done, it's going to be 2015. All right, so this is where we are in history. Now, Columbus is over here. There's our guy from our painting. A light! 1492. Okay. But all of recorded history is 5,000 years. This is something that we need to appreciate when we are studying American history. American history is over here. It's just this little part of it. There's all of this too. And we need to understand what that is and what came before America. Because one of the things that we're going to learn about America is how amazing it is. How different it is. How different the world is that we live in from the world that just about everybody in history has lived in. Now, this is a joke, so this is kind of funny. Let me show you something about the world that we live in and how different it is. Do you think the world is different from the way that it used to be? This is from Mr. Powell's Facebook. How long have human beings had toilet paper? Here's a good joke. Look at that. People have had toilet paper only since 1880. Wow, thank goodness we live in modern times. Right? Would you want to live before 1880? Don't get me started on that. Yikes. Well, I don't know what was going on, but I don't want to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it in class, all right? But but the modern world is pretty amazing, right? Here we have, of course, the internet, which is way more amazing. I don't know, which one's more amazing? Right, the modern world is an amazing place. And here we are just at the end of the story here, and we have all this other stuff going on. What was that like? And where does that lead us to? We need to understand that as we embark on American history. So now I have a puzzle for you guys. If we say that we are living around the year 2000, we're going to round it out, right? We're going to say around the year 2000. And history is about 5,000 years long. Now that creates an interesting problem. Because if I say we are at the 2,000 year mark, and history is 5,000 years long, we end up with an interesting puzzle. How do you take away 5,000 from 2,000? Now, I was just challenging Patrick with this earlier because he has not ever learned about negative numbers before, but I sense that Rolly does. So, Rolly, tell me what you think of that problem.
Negative 3,000.
Negative 3,000 is indeed the answer. So now that's a tricky idea. And so it's important to understand what negative numbers are, not just talk about them, but we have to learn kind of what this means to go past this zero mark here and go 3,000 years further. And we have a special way of writing that, which is 3,000 years B.C. over here. Okay, so we're going to have to figure out what this is. If we take away 2,000 years from where we are right now, and then we take away 5,000 from where we are, about 2,000, we end up at this place called, if you do math, you call that negative 3,000. But then if you're talking about it in terms of history, it's like we call it 3,000 B.C. So now I don't know who here is familiar with this kind of math. It's okay if you haven't seen it before. But just think of it like this. Here's another way of thinking of this problem of understanding things that are 5,000 years old, even if we're measuring it from a certain place. We haven't talked yet about why we are measuring it a certain way. Why we think of ourselves as being in 2014. Why do we think that? If history is 5,000 years long, why don't we think of ourselves as being in the year 5,000? That would seem to kind of make more sense, that we would measure it from the beginning. Instead, we measure it another way. And I can sense that Rolly knows the answer, but I'm just going to hold off on that for a second. There's different ways of measuring things, right? And so one thing that I like to think about in terms of, well, BC versus where we are right now, another kind of similar example would be if you think about where you are, thinking about a compass. Right now, I'm going to annotate this. And I'm going to imagine that here is us, right, walking around. And I'm going to say, well, we are going to go over from here 2 meters to the east, right? Because this is a compass. Mm-hmm. All right, or 2,000 meters to the east. Now, if I say, go from here 5,000 meters to the west, well, look what happens. You go like this. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000. All right, so you end up in a new place. If you take 2,000 to the east and you go 5,000 to the west, where do you end up? 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 to the west. All right, so there's kind of a similar way of thinking about it. This is kind of more geographical, right? North, south, east, west. We could do the same thing going north and south. If you go 2 in one direction and 5 in the other direction, you end up, well, 3 in that other direction. So that's like 2,000 minus 3,000. I don't know if that explanation helps a little bit, right? We can also think of number lines and other things that you may have learned in math, right, to help us work on this idea of 3,000 BC. What was going on 3,000 BC or 5,000 years ago? Anybody have an idea? Anybody have an idea? Who was doing anything back then? Abby, go ahead.
The Egyptians.
They were doing something,
and the Romans and the Greeks.
Not the Romans and the Greeks yet, I'm afraid. Yeah, so they weren't around yet. But you are right that the only people that we can see doing anything around that time, that we can see really clearly doing things. There are different people doing things, but we don't really know the history of them, were the Egyptians. And here is an image of something that happened. Oh, it's not coming up on my screen for some reason, so let me bring it up. This is something that happened in 3000 BC. What does it look like it happened? What's going on here? It certainly doesn't have anything to do with America. It's in ancient Egypt. What's going on in this strange place that was ancient Egypt? What's this guy doing here with the strange crown that looks like a bowling pin? He's obviously, remember in History Through Art, we talk about the main character? All right, we know who the main character is. It's this guy. What is the main character doing in this art? Sigourney?
It looks like he's chopping off that guy's head.
Well, it looks like he's going to hit him, right? Because this is not a spoon. It's a club or a mace, which is a weapon. And it looks like he's going to hit that guy, which of course is not very nice, but unfortunately that is what he's going to do, right? In history, a lot of mean things happen. Okay, so what's going on? Well, as it turns out, in ancient Egypt around this time, there was a famous ruler. And he conquered Egypt and he became the first of the famous pharaohs. The first of the pharaohs of Egypt that we know of anyway. Nemo, does that ring a bell? Do you remember his name?
Menes Narmer,
right. He was known at some point as Menes, and historians like to call him Narmer now. So I like to call him Menes Narmer, the first of the pharaohs of ancient Egypt. So what we have back here 5,000 years ago is people that were very, very different from us. I'm going to go and try something here. There we go. I'm going to put a little image of our buddy Menes Narmer here on the screen. And so we're going to start to build a little bit of a timeline to help us understand history. And so back here, we have ancient Egypt, 5,000 years ago. And look at us. We're way over here. Okay? 5,000 years worth of history. And what are we going to be studying? Only this part. But not only this part, because there's some things that we need to understand about this part which are strange. How did we get from this guy over here to this guy? And then over to us. A lot of different things had to happen. Patrick, what's your thought there?
Part of it was about discovering new stuff.
We're all right.
That we know about.
Right. Part of it is the discoveries that Columbus made and that other people made along the way. Absolutely. So we live in a very different world than the ancient Egyptians. Any other thoughts about that, Sigourney?
Oh, I forgot to
learn. Oh, okay. Right. So, yeah, we live in this modern globalized world where we're all connected to each other. And then over here, we have 5,000 years worth of people living a very, very different way. So we're going to try to figure out, where are we in this story of mankind that is over 5,000 years long. Where are we in this story? Where is all this? What is all this? And what is the meaning of that? When we study history, we want to try to understand, what do those events from the past mean to us? What does it mean to be over here instead of over here instead of over here? So we're getting closer now to being ready to just start to proceed with the story and learn about the world around this time and watch as history takes us closer and closer to where we are. We're getting close to being ready, except we are not quite ready. We got to do a couple more things to get this framework, this timeline, which is going to be our framework, kind of ready to go. So tomorrow, we're going to fill in a couple more pieces of this. We've got some important people here so far. We've got us, the most important of all. Then we have Columbus. Okay, so we got him. And then we've got our first person that we know of in history, this mean guy with the mace called Menes Narmer in ancient Egypt. Then tomorrow we're going to talk about a few more things. Very importantly, we're going to talk about what is this, why did people decide that there has to be the middle right here? Why did people decide, well, actually not the middle, more like over here. Why did people decide that that there's going to be zero over here? Right? Because we go back 2,000 years and we have this line here, and what does that mean? Why is that there? And how come history works the way that it does? So we'll have to see tomorrow. I know that some of you are already aware, but we're trying to kind of build up an idea of kind of the big picture of history before we go and study all of the little parts. If we know the size of this ocean that we want to try to cross, then we're going to be ready to navigate it. We're not going to have to do what Columbus did. Columbus was very lucky. He thought the ocean was so big, and it turned out that, well, the Atlantic Ocean was about as big as he thought the whole world was. He got very lucky. But we need to be more than lucky here. We have an ocean of 5,000 years that we need to swim around in. And we need to make sure that we stay close to shore over here so that we don't drown in all of that information. So we need to know how big the ocean is and where to stay. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to figure out this spot, what it looks like. We're going to make sure that our activities are anchored, as we talked about last time, in the present and in the right spot. And then when we learn about it, it will really make sense where things are. Okay, so yeah, that's about it. Tomorrow, then, we'll continue to fill in this picture of where American history fits inside of the picture of all of the history of mankind. Last thoughts for today? Questions about that? All right. Well, tomorrow, we keep going. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye.